this world is room for everyone, and the good earth is rich and can provide for everyone. The way of life be free and beautiful, but we have lost the way. Greed has poisoned men's souls, has barricaded the world with hate. We think too much and feel too little. We think too much and feel too little. More than machinery, we need humanity. More than cleverness, we need kindness. Without these qualities, life will be violent. All will be lost. All will be lost. Do not despair, for hate of men will pass, and dictators die. Dictators die. And the power they took from the people will return to the people. Will return to the people. Let us all unite. Let us fight for a new world to do away with greed. Now let us fight to free the world, to fulfill that promise. Let us all unite.
Welcome, folks. You're in the Corporation Nation. It is, well, what is it? It's Tuesday, the 10th of March, 2015, and we are continuing our conversation today from yesterday with Dr. Scott McQuaid, who will be joining us here, hopefully momentarily. I'm just trying to get him on the line. Wow, this is the first time I've gotten certainly, well, let's just say mixed reviews on yesterday's show. Most people were very, very eager to continue today. Some, however, were, I don't know, offended. Something was going on. I was even told that the only Bible is the King James Bible. And my response to that was very clear. I said, well, okay, if you're saying that God's Word is the King James Bible, the Bible of Kings, and I agree, you should certainly read that. If you now want to know what the law of kings and what everything is built upon, certainly you're going to go to the King James Bible. That's the law. However, what happens when you start applying logic and reason to the equation? Of course, we know it's a transliteration. We know absolutely that it's a false translation in a lot of instances with a lot of information that is twisted and turned. And I tried to appeal to the logic and reason of this person, and I said very simply, look, in law, the only way that something can be patented or copyrighted, and please understand that the King James Bible is a product of the Crown, it is copyrighted by that entity. In order for something to be copyrighted, it must be original. It must be unique. Well, what could that possibly mean in the grand scheme of things? Well, that means that the King James Bible cannot be an original. It must be something new. And so to actually use that as a fact or a criticism or whatever that was is actually kind of laughable when you actually think about it. And the logic of that, of course, considering that the King James Bible is not the original, nor the fact that, you know, we don't really have an original for the Bible, it's sort of a confusing topic as to which Bible to even read, and we'll perhaps ask our guest today that very question. But I wanted to start off today with a bang. Gotta get into my other computer here. Hold on. Because I was contemplating this notion of the rapture, which was another comment that someone made, and I said, well, okay, I'm going to look up rapture, because I've never really studied the whole process of the rapture, and so I went to my blue letter Bible, typed it in, looked in for the concordances, and there was nothing. There's no word, there's no mention of rapture. And I'm like, huh, what's going on here? Why is rapture not in the Bible? Everybody talks about it, it's all over the place. Well, you know, it was kind of an invention by, apparently by a gentleman named Schofield, and we'll talk about the Schofield Bible too, but when I looked, I saw that rapture, the combination of two words. You know how I love my words, and my guest will certainly make the same claim. Rapture is a combination of two words, rape and an action. It's actually defined in the Webster's 1828 dictionary, which is my go-to for biblical notions in the legal sense, a seizing by violence, transport, ecstasy, violence of a pleasing passion, extreme joy or pleasure, rapidity with violence, a hurrying along with velocity, is rolling with torrent rapture. Now, wait a minute, what does that mean? Now, the Latin root of that is rapio, R-A-P-I-O. And so I thought, well, let's look up the word rape. Latin, rapio, raptus. In general sense, a seizing by violence. So, wait a minute. If rapture is a seizing by violence, and rape is a seizing by violence, or a seizing and carrying away by force, as we do with females, and in some cases males, in law, it's the carnal knowledge of women forcibly against her will. So why are we rooting for this notion of rapture? Because it literally means rape. It's the seizing, the act of seizing or taking away, privation. Fruit plucked from the cluster. You can go on and on and on. Stems from, what does it say here? It says C-rap, R-A-P. To strike with a quick, sharp blow. I'm looking at this word trying to figure out where the good part of it is. And so I wanted to start off today with our guest, Scott McQuaid. You go to Paxion Publishing to see all of his works. Also the innercircle.us. Welcome, Scott. Can you please explain what the heck this rapture thing is all about, considering it's nowhere to be found in the Bible?
Hey, thanks. It's good to be here, by the way. Thanks for having me again.
Absolutely.
Yeah, what a concept, this rapture, huh? It sounds like it would be a good topic to write a book about, but I've actually done that. it's called The Secret Rapture. And this is one of those big elephants in the parsonage, if you will, that I could never get answers to. Because I knew, as you just pointed out, the word rapture was not in the Bible. And I knew that it was really... there was an evangelist by the name of Darby in the 1800s that kind of coined this, and that's a whole other story. There was a short book written about that, actually, also. But the rapture, as it is taught within Christianity, and I hope, by the way, I hope those people who got angry at you yesterday are tuning in right now, because they may learn something else as well. This whole idea of the rapture is prolific within the Christian church, and it is the great hope that Jesus is going to come through the clouds in glory, and his long hair and beard are going to be blowing in the wind, and he's going to have his sandals on and sweep us off the earth before there is any kind of destruction or travesty. And this is a lie. I'm not going to even soften it for those people who get all up in a bunch about this kind of stuff. I'm just telling you the way it is. It's a lie, the way it is presented. There is going to be, and if you want to get this broken down in detail, just read my book, The Secret Rapture. It's all there for you. Everything's broken down. It's all you need to understand what's going to happen. There is an intrepid determination on the part of those who manufactured us under the guise of God, under that alias, who have raised themselves up to be looked upon as God, as we discussed yesterday, to keep us intact. They have worked long and hard to create this construct of the human being with their DNA. And they don't want anything to happen to it. And people, one of the main arguments people use to justify their belief that the true Creator is going to come and take us away to preserve us, to protect us from the coming wrath, is the idea of Noah building an ark. And they say, well, God did it then. The world became wicked. God chose his remnant and gave instructions to Noah, who was righteous in all his generations, meaning he was perfect in his genetics, and told him to build an ark and to preserve his family and animals. And you know what? That's a lie. And I used to believe it. And I know that just about everybody within Christianity believes that lie. Here's what actually happened. the one hidden behind the Tetragrammaton. Whether you want to look at them as Jehovah, Yahweh, the Lord God, or if you even want to call them Elohim, okay, these are the fallen ones. And they knew that the creation of man was wicked, just like we talked about yesterday, because man was not among those things that were made that Genesis 1 says were good. Man was created, bara.
Well, yeah. Let me interrupt you right there and just ask this, because I'm a little confused at the Genesis portrayal of man. Because in Genesis 1:27 it says, "So God created man in His own image," etc., etc. And then in Genesis 2:7 it says, "And the Lord God formed man," not created, but formed man, "of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." That sounds like two different stories to me.
Well, and let's not forget about the Noah story, because that's very important. I want to come back to that. But let me touch on this briefly, because this was one of those other big elephants in the parsonage that no one could ever answer, right? And I would ask them simply, why is there a creation account in Genesis chapter 1 where man is created, and then another rendition of the creation account in Genesis chapter 2 right after the first account? And they would tell me, well, this is just another rendition, another way that God is revealing himself and his love to us through a different retelling of the story. And I would say, crap, that's ridiculous. That's just nonsense. First of all, the entity is not the same. And second of all, the methodology by which man was created, the manufacturing process in chapter 2, is entirely different than the one in chapter 1. In chapter 1, man was bara. Man was created, not made, as were other things in Genesis chapter 1 that were called good. And in chapter 2, there's an altogether different method by which this new entity was manufacturing man. And that new methodology was Yatsar in the Hebrew, meaning to mold man. And it's because this was a different entity, and man had been destroyed. This is the answer to that question, Clint. Man had been destroyed by the great destroyer, by Kali, by the red dragon, by the red kachina, by whatever you want to call this planetary body. And because man was destroyed because man was not good, as we discussed. And it was done by fire, as I pointed out yesterday. And this is why when the new figure comes along in Genesis chapter 2, it says that they took man from the dust. But again, that's a mistranslation. It should never have been translated dust. It can be, but it's not proper when put into a correct context. The method by which man was destroyed was fire. And this is why the word for dust, which is afar, A-P-H-A-R, literally means ashes or cinders. And this is these cinders, pardon me, the cinders that were left over from Elohim's creation. And the word Elohim and the word Allah they're from the exact same Arabic root, al, which can be rendered Elah. And this is why these are literally the cinders of Elah. And if you know your fables and your children's stories, you know that there's a story called the Cinders of Ella, which we call Cinderella. That's exactly where we get this story. And I wrote a short book about that called The Cinders of Ella and Other Tales of the Fairies, going through this in detail, telling you what happened. So this is a reconstruction of man in a different way by the leader of the fallen angels, who I pointed out yesterday was Lucifer. And it had to be done because, you know, for their great work to come to fruition, because man was destroyed by the Creator through the use of the Red Kachina, the Red Dragon, Planet Nibiru, Planet X, and which we will, you know, we can get into all that later. But this is the entity that told Noah to build the ark. It was not the true Creator that told Noah to build an ark and to save his family because he was perfect and righteous and all this other stuff. He was unadulterated, yes, but that was not the plan of the true Creator. The true Creator knew that man, in his entirety, was wicked, was bad, because he was constructed against the will, against the proper method, if you will, of the true Creator. And we talked about that yesterday. So how can I say that this was not proper for Noah to build the ark, for him to preserve his family and the animals? Because it tells us this in the book of Hebrews. I believe it's chapter 11, or it might be chapter 8. It tells us right there. And those of you who are angry about me saying this, go get your Bibles and get angry at the Father if you want to get angry at somebody. Don't get mad at me. I'm just the messenger telling you the truth. But this is always the plight of those of us who do this. I understand. Get it out, get it over with, and then move on into the truth, okay, so you can be free. In that chapter, it tells us specifically that Noah...
has offered any evidence against what you're saying.
What's that, Clint?
Sorry, I said certainly in the ad hominem attacks, they're not offering any evidence contrary to what you're saying. It's just attack on your character, so go ahead.
But here's the thing. In that verse, it tells us very clearly, very plainly in our face that Noah built the ark out of fear, and in doing so, cursed or condemned all of humanity. People, go read it for yourselves. This is just one more piece of an entire plethora of evidence to prove what I have been telling people for years. And that is, we are not supposed to be here in this state. We were brought here, put into a prison of flesh, right? The mortal coil, as Shakespeare calls it, right? And this is a prison. It's literally an extension of hell, to be quite just, you know, frank. And it's, you know, hell comes from the word Hillel, which is the root of Anakosh, the shining one, which is a representation or a metaphor for DNA. And this is why our you know, the book of Jude talks about those who were put in chains in darkness until judgment. That's us. That's, we are put in these chains of DNA until the judgment comes. So
we've certainly been touching on this subject, although not so clearly with Patrick Jordan, who that's the premise of a lot of his work, is that we are stuck in hell. We're stuck in this DNA, epigenome, prionic, archonic hell, and that it's actually kind of frightening now that you say this and compare it to what he says and what he shows. Because, of course, we're studying the epigenome, we're studying the DNA, we're studying the process of all of this medical and vaccination, you know, all the side effects. And unfortunately, I know people don't want to hear this stuff, and that's too bad, because I think what you're saying is, how do I say it? It actually is logical. I mean, it actually has a sense to it that you can compare. And I think the important aspect here is that the notion that in history we evolved from cavemen is being constantly pushed at us, and yet over here you have men like Jonathan Gray, an archaeologist who's found and shown, you know, pyramids all over the earth that can't be built by anything we have today, except, well, maybe in the last 50 years we possibly could. 200,000 ton blocks of granite and stone and perfectly drilled holes, things that are so far superior in technology than we have today, and yet we look at people will look at what you're saying and say, well, that's impossible. The people were dumb back then. And yet, at the same time, they're reading the Bible, which is supposedly from back then. You're reading the Code of Hammurabi. You're reading all these things and all these texts that are far superior in language. The Bible is mathematically, as they say, perfect rendition of the number seven. And there's all of these different incredible, incredible technological feats, both in mind and in actual technology that totally goes against this notion. And so we look at this and we say, well, no, I have to look at the Bible as a bunch of guys walking in robes and wearing sandals, instead of saying, well, there's something else to be said about this history. And we'll have to get into that more with the technological stuff. And this concept of a rogue planet is also something we definitely have to start talking about.
Right. That's one of the most important things that people need to be understanding at this late date. But about the hell issue, you know, yesterday we talked a lot about DNA and specifically the six-sided genetic construct that was placed into the genetic material of Adam. He was, at the outset, he had RNA. He was made with RNA, which the Bible refers to as the rib. But when that figure hidden behind the tetragrammaton of YHWH breathed into him, that is a reference to the placing of the spire, right? This you can call it inspiration. She inspired into him or breathed into him. And this is from the word spire. The spire we're talking about is the same as the pyre that we talked about yesterday, which is a reference to the fire. And this six-sided genetic construct is represented by a planet in our solar system, which is Saturn. You see, Saturn, which is just another way of saying Satan, right, is the only planet in our solar system that has a hexagon on its north pole. And this is important for us to understand, because Saturn is spoken about in the cuneiform, in the Sumerian language. And it's called, there's three logograms that refer to Saturn, or actually two logograms in a word, that refer to the planet Saturn. One is D-I-S, one is T-U-R, and the other is Genna, G-E-N-N-A. Well, that's very important for us to understand for several reasons, but one of the main reasons is because whether it is the Greek, the Hebrew, the Aramaic, Arabic, or other languages which refer to a specific place by the words Jahinam, Gehinam, Gina, Gena, Gehenna, and others that are very, very similar in their pronunciation and their spelling, they refer to hell. That word is hell, that those words I just said mean. And the word that is a reference to Saturn, that literally means Saturn in the cuneiform, from which all of these other languages were derived secretly, is Genna, which means Saturn. And this is why Jesus said in Revelation 2, 9 and 3, 9, that those who say they are Jews are not. They are of the synagogue, meaning the body, temple of Satan, which is another way of saying Saturn. This is why we have that six-sided genetic construct called the phosphate, which at one time was phosphorus, which means Lucifer, and when it's translated in the Latin from the Greek word for Venus, which is they call Lucifer. And it's the reason why Israel flies, is the only country that flies a flag with a single six-sided star. That represents the molecule in our DNA, which actually created our DNA. And so when you put all these things together and you understand who it was that made us, who it is right now that has a desperation to keep us intact, at least a portion of us intact, because we are valuable to them, you understand that escaping the things that are to come, which have come before in the form of the fire that destroyed man in Genesis 1 and the flood that destroyed man in Genesis 2, which happened about every 3,600 years or every little over three days, according to the Bible, escaping that is not something you want to do. And this is one of the main reasons, the main reason why knowing the truth is absolutely paramount. It's absolutely crucial at this time in history, which is why I do what I do at this time in history. These things have not been known before now because they've been hidden. Just like it says in Proverbs 25:2, it's the glory of God to conceal a matter. It's the honor of kings to discover a matter. And Daniel 12:4 says that the book was sealed up until the time of the end, when knowledge would increase and people would be going to and fro in the earth. In other places, refer to the truth being hidden. So the foolish Christians who say that, oh, God wouldn't hide the truth from anybody, he wouldn't do that. Well, what do you say about all those verses, including 2 Thessalonians 2:11, which says, because people did not love the truth, God handed them over to a strong delusion that would cause them to believe a lie. Well, everybody's pointing their fingers at different denominations within Christianity. The Christians are pointing their fingers at the Muslims, and the Muslims are pointing their fingers at the Christians. And the Christians are, and the Muslims are pointing their fingers at the atheists, and so on and so forth. You need to be looking in the mirror. You are the people that is are referred to in those verses who are under a strong delusion. That word strong in that verse is energeia in the Greek, and it literally means something that affects everybody, except ones who are sent to expose the truth so you can be free from your delusions. That's why it's important. You know, they keep you in bondage by lying to you, telling you these fairy tales. These things are called, the Bible calls these things Jewish fables, and tells us we are not to give heed to Jewish fables. These are the words from the Bible. I'm not making this up. The sentiment that these people are chosen, set apart, sanctified, holy, chosen, the apple of God's eye, is rubbish. That was written into the Bible by the scribes who wrote it. And these same scribes, incidentally, who wrote the two-sided Bible, the real reason the Bible carries the name Bible, because it's two-sided. Bi is two, B-L-E is of or from. It means it is of two. I believe me, don't come to me and say, oh, he doesn't even know the real meaning of the word Bible. Of course I do. Of course I do. I'm not going to go there because, you know, it means something else in the Greek. Biblos, books, or from the port in Aegea called Biblos, where they ported the papyrus upon which they wrote the pages of the Bible. That's nonsense. That's an overt, exoteric meaning. Bible, it means twofold, because it is a literary representation of another two-sided thing that was scribed on, and that is your DNA. And those who wrote the Bible to keep you enslaved with the Jewish fables they've woven all throughout it are the same ones who have woven, who have tzachak in the Hebrew, woven their fables into it to keep you in the dark. There are very few who can understand the truth at this late date, because the delusion is largely self-imposed.
So, the notion of enfolding or folding also applies to the notion of the angels, which we'll sort of get into after we get back here. Stay tuned, folks. More with Scott McQuaid when we come back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Earthquakes, hurricanes, nuclear accidents, terror attacks, and all-out social collapse. With the world today more volatile than ever, the future has never looked more uncertain. Survivalist Magazine is the one resource you can't afford to be without. Claim your free trial subscription now at www.survivalist.com, and your first issue ships immediately. Get all the details and more at www.survivalist.com, or order by phone. Call 1-866-437-6570. Your survival may depend on it.
Americans are reeling from Obamacare, higher prices, and an epidemic of policy lapses. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com has you covered. World-class medical and surgery at one of Asia's most modern hospitals. 300 doctors, surgeons, and dentists serving 300,000 patients a year. Fractions of U.S. prices. Friends or family forced to go out of pocket? Avoid bankruptcy. Tell them to run. Run like hell. Hit us up now. We'll show you how. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com.
Has your dancing and romancing done gone away? Are you moaning and a-groaning from the stresses of the day? Are you reeling and a-peeling because a headache's on the way? Well, relax for just a moment. Stress relief is on the way. Of what am I speaking, you ask? The essential oils of long historic use, the wisdom of the ages, the health care of the ancients, frankincense, myrrh, hyssop, and hundreds of others too numerous to mention. What could be more appealing? Do you know that Young Living essential oils has an element of life that makes them extremely effective in body rejuvenation? This element is called vibration, and it works with body systems, not against them. The professionals at Divine Living Oils have tested and been so impressed with this product that we are using them to help others. And who are we? We are health professionals with many years' experience. Trust us, we have seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. Our motto? Because we care about you. Do your health and spirit a great favor. Call us at 304-542-4226. That's 304-542-4226. Again, that's 304-542-4226.
With autumn in the air, it's time to think about getting ready for winter. And it's time to save at HerbalHealer.com. You'll find amazing seasonal savings to prepare you for the fight against cold and flu season. Like Oregacillin to promote lung health. 30 capsules, regularly $34.95, now only $25. HHA Olive Leaf, the natural antiviral, normally $16.95, now 60 capsules are just $12. HHA Elderberry Power, a great flu and virus fighter, regularly $16.95, 60 capsules, now $10. Save on all our homeopathic detoxes. Choose from lungs, kidney, liver, brain, libido, or whole body, normally $26.95, now just $20. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click on the Fall Winter Specials button to save on all our natural cold and flu fighting products. Also explore our Herbal Healer Academy correspondence courses that teach you how to handle your health naturally. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Dr. Joel Wallach, author of the famous health lecture, Dead Doctors Don't Lie, presents his newest book, Epigenetics. Epigenetics is required reading for the very survival of Americans, and yes, all of humanity. Modern man has bet on the wrong horse to save them from disease and pestilence. The medical system has failed us fearfully. Join the health revolution. Buy Epigenetics today and receive a free membership to purchase all the products that Dr. Joel Wallach formulated at wholesale prices and receive a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. All this for only $25 plus shipping and handling. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311. Again, that's just $25 plus shipping and handling. And you'll receive the new book, Epigenetics, a free membership and a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311.
Conversation today. I was just saying that these words, dialect, the former idiom of language, relates to orthography, writing words and paper, etc. To imply is to fold or to implicate, to infold or involve, to wrap up, which goes back to the notion of an idiom or to to a mode of expression particular to a language, phraseology, etc. And, you know, again, the implications, an implication is a fold, an info, to involve in something, to entangle, to involve, to bring into connection with. And so these words seem to have a correlation to what you were saying there about the folding. The infolding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of folding. It has to do also do with the idea of carbon with which we were made, like a sword that is folded over and over and over and over. This has to do with the the tolerance that we're taught. taught. We're always taught to be tolerant of other people and beliefs and all these kinds of things, which really dilutes the idea that there is a single way, that there's a standard of morality. You know, tolerate this person, tolerate that person, you know, just accept them for who they are. That is not the way of the Father. Tolerance is how you test hardness of steel. Think of carbon-based steel. Folded and folded and beaten and beaten and heated and cooled and etc. It's very deep, but this is why they created the Earth in the way they did. They literally created the Earth from the remnants of another planet called Tiamat, which was destroyed by the same mechanism that man was destroyed by.
And where's that coming from, that information?
This is from the Sumerian text. You know, it's in the Bible. You know, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. But that is a very, very diluted way of telling us what happened.
Right. Now, the term evolution actually is also defined as the act of unfolding or unrolling, which is always interesting.
I didn't hear that, Clint.
I said the word evolution also, in its base root, evolutio, the act of unfolding or unrolling. So, you know, that sort of reminds me of the whole DNA, RNA thing as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, this is all very deep, very complex. And one of the reasons people get so upset about it is because it actually takes some cognitive ability, you know, to understand what's going on. Whereas within the religious systems of the world, you just simply believe and you're done. You got your get-out-of-jail-free card and you're going home with the rapture. That takes nothing. Whereas what it really says in the Bible is to study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be reproved, rightly dividing the word of truth. Jesus also said that in order to know the truth, which was imperative, to be free, he said, ask and it shall be given unto you, seek and ye shall find, knock and the door shall be opened unto you.
Well,
and people
let's make some
just quote that as if that's just a nice little Bible verse, but all three of those words in the Greek literally carry with them the idea of unceasing, intense, unending seeking. It carries with it the idea of like a hound dog with its nose to the ground seeking the prey and not giving up until it finds it. That's
well,
a far
sure.
cry
so,
from simply having faith
so
and believing
similar,
you're done.
I think we're sorry. I think we're having just connection issues, but it's similar to the notion of reading the Bible once and, oh, well, I've read it, that's it, instead of going and saying, oh, look at that word, what does that mean? Oh, look at that word, what does that mean? Oh, I better read this again, studying the actual thing in a constant state of study as opposed to saying, well, I'm going to read this for church, it's an obligation, I hate it, but I'd rather be watching TV, that kind of thing. Now, can you clarify, just for people, so they don't think that you're this person or that person or you're copying someone else's information, whatever it is that people think, who knows. Can you explain what your, well, the words you're using, you're saying they created the earth, TMET, etc. You're using the word, you know, the name, Jesus. What is, you know, if I don't know how to ask this question in a proper function, but when you say that, for instance, Who is Jesus? Who was Jesus speaking about when he said, let's say, the Father? And what did he mean when he said, when he was talking about the kingdom of heaven versus the kingdom of God? Is there a difference? Are they the same? What is your opinion or your study? Who was Jesus?
Well, that's a very deep question, and inevitably, every time I say who he really was, people get very angry. Because, again, they believed the Jewish fairy tales that were told not to give heed to. Jesus, everything about him, you know, from his being born of a virgin to him dying on the cross to him being raised and ascending and in the grave and all this stuff, none of that, zero, is unique to the Bible.
No.
The whole story began in Sumeria, where the Son of God, whose name at that point was Kingu, K-I-N-G-U, was killed not on a literal cross, but at the crossing of this planet. And just like Jesus, his pierced, his arteries were slit, and his blood was used. And this is a whole. This is where everything comes from. It is a fairy tale, but that does not mean it is not. There's not truth in it. It's an allegory. But if you understand allegories or parables, which he always used, you understand that the truth within a parable is oftentimes much more powerful than a literal rendering of a story.
Right. So, let's compare this then to, say, masonry. And, you know, I despise masonry, but when you look at masonry and you look at other sort of secret societies and religions, etc., you know, you have to recognize the duality of the parables within anything. So when we're talking about the square, the compass, and all these different Masonic tools, depending on which degree, and a degree is a way of measuring the criminal intent of a man, which is why we get degrees in school in our education system, license to commit crime, basically. So when you're talking about the square, you know, are you talking about a tool, or are you talking about a concept to measure the character of a man? Well, it turns out you're talking about both. There's a duality. There is always hidden meanings, or there is always a dualistic meaning, and that's why it's called a parable, an allegory, etc., etc. So we have to take that. We have to consider, well, you know, let's look at the Bible and try to get the true meaning of these things out. And, you know, I don't take the Bible in literal terms. I don't take it as necessarily a history of men per se, as much as I take it as a history, a cyclical history, perhaps, of things that have happened that we better darn be aware of. And when I look at the Revelation concept, and now I see that the entirety of the Revelation context, when it talks about the Son of Man returning with the moon at her feet, the stars at her head, and the Jupiter, the sun going in retrograde through the belt, and I see that in the 2017 September, that all of this is actually happening in the sky, in the heavens, in the stars, everything that Revelation actually says, referring to the stars and referring to the constellation of the serpent, it's all astrological in nature, then, you know, let's start looking at it for what, I mean, are you going to say, well, no, it's a real woman, then she's going to really be pregnant, and she's really going to have somehow a moon at her feet, and somehow she's going to have stars, but it's a real woman. I mean, we have to think. We have to be logical and reasonable. We have to understand the nature of these writings. And so, I'm sorry, please continue.
Where was I?
the Christ story.
Okay, right. Well, that began in Sumeria, as I said. And this is why above Jesus' head on the cross, in the biblical version of that story, the Jews put a plaque that said King of the Jews, because they knew, this is another in-our-face telltale sign that they knew where this story came from, because the original name of the Son of God, of the original Son of God, was Kingu, K-I-N-G-U. And if you remember yesterday, I was speaking about the logogram G-U from the Sumerian text, pardon me, which is, we would pronounce Jew, which in the Sumerian is pronounced God. So these stories have a much older origin than the Bible. People get the feelings hurt, people get up in arms and call the radio show and all this, and, you know, but they're just unlearned. They have been taught what to think and not how to think. And so this is where the story came from. But that does not mean that it is, there's not truth to it. Very, very crucial and important truth. And, you know, we have to understand the origins of these things. Now, you're talking about different things being personified, like the woman crowned and the moon under her feet and things like this. The danger of personifying everything 100% is that it takes the personality of the creator out. There are people who do this. I won't name names, but some of very, very well known and have been members of the inner circle before, and we disagree because they personify everything. They will tell you that all of the stories and allegories in the Bible are all astronomical in nature. But you have to understand who it was that put those planets in place. It was the fallen angels. The Gnostics used to teach this. The Essenes and others used to teach that the material world was evil, and they were persecuted and killed, many of them, for their beliefs, because the powers that be know that it's true. We were brought from a spiritual state into a material world, and we are able to go back to our first estate, which is spiritual. But if we believe these fairy tales, even if we believe them in a Christian doctrinal manner, we will remain enslaved and remain here in hell. That's just the way it goes. So knowing the truth is important, because everything that you do, every single action that you take, is always predicated on what you think first, on what you believe. This is why they have focused on the idea of belief within Christianity, and told you that simply, you know, all you have to do is believe, because then your actions are going to follow, and they are going to be doctrinally based, because you believe that your salvation, your eternal life, is predicated entirely upon a belief, and your actions will follow. That's not what Jesus taught, though, and this is a telltale sign that he did not establish Christianity, which is what I teach people all the time. He did not condone it. He did not establish it. He did not found it. It was founded by another. And he said, I come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. You believe me not. If another comes in his own name, him you will believe. And this other came, and Jesus gave earmarks of him. He gave prophecies of what he would do, how he would behave, and what to look for this other person. Right? Now, I just got done saying that Esau, or Jesus, was a personification of many things. And so here I am talking about what he said. So is this a contradiction? Am I schizophrenic? I know people think these kinds of things when I talk like this, but it's because everybody wants things to be black and white, and it's not the way it is. When I say that Esau said something, what I'm saying is the entity of Esau is quoted as saying this or that. It is true, because he was the very embodiment of the truth. Those who think that they know him, like he said, you must know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Or you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Christians say, well, yeah, I know Jesus. He's my personal savior. That's not what he meant. He was saying, know the truth. And truth, therefore, will enable you to base your actions on it, to do the right thing, because action's all that matters. When they come to you in the near future, and they say, We are going to take you away in the rapture, which they will do. 99.9% of Christians and others will jump on the train.
And who is they? That's the big misunderstanding I'm having.
Well, I thought I was clear about that yesterday, but they is a reference to the judges, the magistrates, the rulers who are here on earth, who are representation of the fallen angels, or the embodiment of the fallen angels. These are the ones who made us and want to keep us.
You're suggesting that the rapture is then an offer?
Hard time hearing you.
Yeah, I think we're multiple. Are you saying that the rapture is an offer?
Is a what, I'm sorry?
An offer?
An offer?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm saying it's real. But it's not real. It's not in the way that Christians teach it is. It is an event that will happen. It is the same as the blue kachina, which different cultures, including several Native American Indian cultures, teach will preempt the red kachina. which is the same event that destroys man. And destroyed man by the fire, destroyed man by the flood, to take man home back to the original estate from which he was stolen. It's the same as redemption. It's the same as repentance. The rapture will happen. It will be an event that is perpetrated against humanity under the guise of taking you to a safe haven to avoid destruction. But the destruction is something that is a gracious, merciful act of the true Creator to dismantle the DNA. It's like Elijah. When Elijah was taken up in the wheel within a wheel. I talk about this in the book.
All right, we'll hold that thought. We got to take a quick break. Stay tuned.
Nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yep, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead, pull the trigger.
The IRS is a private corporation, not a government agency. Income tax is collected by voluntary compliance. To learn to unvolunteer or discontinue volunteering into the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com and immediately implement Strategy 1. The process must be repeated each and every time. Paper, letter, envelope, presentment, etc. Always and forever. Failure equates to acceptance, subsequent resultant contract, and you pay or go to jail by your own consent and agreement contract. Avoid recontracting. Visit escapeharassment.com and implement Strategy 1 immediately. Bar lawyers and accountants won't help you. Why wait? Get Strategy 1 and immediately implement it to divorce the IRS today and forever. That's escapeharassment.com, Strategy 1, to be free from the IRS. EscapeHarassment.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here is what people are saying.
A year ago, I was realizing that I was in serious problems with my heart. You know, I had these chest pains and so on. I realized that I had to do something and quick. I didn't want to go the medical route. So I started in doing some investigating, and somebody told me about these heart drops. I got on the heart drops prescribed dosage. Within 2 weeks, I immediately started seeing the results. This is working. I'm going to stick with it. I can't deny the fact that when I got on the heart drops initially, there was immediate help, an immediate turnaround.
To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hi, my name is David Merlin from takefromcaesar.us. Income is defined in the tax code. All property is a cost, including labor, according to statute. You're deprived of the provisions of Section 83 whenever you pay an income tax on your compensation. According to Section 83, only the excess over the amount paid is gross income. The government can't so much as provide an interpretation of Section 83 of its own. Get your paradigm shift and understanding today at takefromcaesar.us.
On the road must have a code that you can live by. Teach your children well. Their father's health did slowly go by. And
all right, folks, welcome back. You're in the Good Price Nation. So Scott, Let's just come out with it so we're not sort of beating around the bush. Are we saying that there is, and we've certainly heard a lot of talk in the alternative media specifically, but even from NASA and other, you know, mainstream sources about this planet. They call it many things, Planet X, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. There was, of course, a big stink about it in 2012 for the so-called Mayan calendar scheme. Of course, that didn't pan out. There's a lot of people still talking about it. Are you saying that this is a historical or a cyclical function of this sort of binary system, and this planet comes around every 3,200 years or so? And is that the premise of this? Is that the destroyer? Is that where this is? I guess I'm saying just come out with it and say what is going to happen, as opposed to, and then we'll go into the details.
Yeah, well, you know, it's not that easy. I'll be happy to explain it, but it's, everybody wants a clear, you know, Reader's Digest condensed version of everything. And it's taken me a dozen books to explain these kinds of things because they've been so deeply hidden. And before we go any further, I'm going to ask if there's any way you can turn your mic up. You had me take my headset off, and now I can't hear you hardly at all. Is there any way we can do that?
Yeah, I mean, you can turn the break. You can put your headset back on if you want. It was just, there's this clicking noise. I don't know where it's coming from. That's been plaguing us. So yeah, we'll fix that after the break here.
Yeah, well, I'm saying I can't hear you very much. I just want to make sure that I get your questions and everything. But I'll do my best here. This is something that was talked about by most ancient cultures. And right. The whole idea that people think that something was going to happen significantly in 2012 is simply a farcical propaganda campaign put out by the popular media. The Mayans didn't say that. They said it was an end of an age, and we're entering into a significant age at that time. It didn't have anything to do with Planet X. So what they did is they put this out there in the media to make everybody think, that was it. That's the year. Look out. It's coming. And they painted everybody who believes in the planet with this broad brush of tomfoolery, if you will, to make people look like imbeciles. And that's what they wanted, because they wanted everybody to discount the existence of this planet because 2012 never happened, and it worked. And so now it's like the Bible. People think that since the Bible's connected to Christianity, and they don't believe in Christianity, then they just throw the Bible out, when that is a dire mistake, because it is a treasure trove of highly important information, and you know how to mine it out. So the whole idea of an incoming planet that has a cyclical orbit of about 35 to 3,600 years was talked about by many groups, pardon me, and they knew it. They called it many names. They called it the Red Dragon. They called it Kali. They called it the Great Destroyer. They called it Nibiru or Nibiru. They called it the Red Kachina. Many names. And they all knew it was coming. But you don't hear it overtly spoken of within Christianity or our society. But it's true. It's happening. The story is told also in the allegory of Jesus being in the tomb and coming out after 3 days.
Well, 3 days is something that happens a lot in the Bible, and it's also the grace period that we always have in the commercial world. So we'll get to that when we come back. Stay tuned, folks.
With financial